D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the New Jersey Devils. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. And to talk Predators and NHL, let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Friedman, who is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
Do we have Elliot?
I don't hear Elliot.
Oh, sorry about that. I had my mute on for a second. That's my fault. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for joining us as always. So the Predators have won 5 in a row. They have surged into a playoff spot in the Western Conference. What is the reaction around the NHL regarding the Predators' recent surge into a playoff spot?
That was funny. I was talking to one reporter the other day, and he was like, well, I never have a problem with Nashville being on my list of potential playoff cities. So that was one of the reactions, I can tell you. I think we're just really surprised but impressed. I mean, I don't think anybody saw this a few months ago. I think we all thought there was a possibility guys were going to get traded out of there, and that, you know, the Predators were going to begin some kind of a rebuild. And now, you know, it was funny. I was talking to this about someone this week, and, you know, we were discussing about the situation and where the team is going and now being where they are. And he says, look, if you take a long view, the birth certificates don't change. Like, the players are the players and they are where they are, but you certainly feel a lot better about where you are and the fact you've climbed into the race. And, you know, this is the thing. Like, you can never, ever, ever expect players with pride to throw in the towel. And I think guys like O'Reilly have a lot of pride. Guys like Stamkos, Josi Forsberg, they have a lot of pride. And I know that there were people who probably wanted them to rebuild. But to those guys in that room, this is much, much more preferable than rebuilding.
Elliot, one thing I have been wondering as the Predators have been piling up the wins, how much influence could this stretch and a potential playoff berth have on the Predators' GM search? Could the Predators' preferences change based on what happens the rest of this season?
Adam, I would say in the short term, my sense is it doesn't change. It doesn't change who they want. I think that's the best way for me to answer the question. I don't think it changes who they want and what kind of person that they are looking for. I think they are looking for someone with a long-term vision to run their hockey operations. And once they identify who that person is, they will build around them. You know, like I said, even though it's been great to watch and it's great for Predators fans, the birth certificates don't change based on your roster. Like, eventually you're going to get to a point where you're going to have to turn over some of this and you're going to have to replace some really good and really important players. So I don't think the overall long-term vision of who is going to take over as manager has changed at all.
Elliot, with the way that the Predators have been playing, there are a lot of fans who are now considering Utah in the mix as the Predators chase down the Mammoth for the first wild card spot. And that would be more ideal for the Predators if they make the playoffs because of the state of the Pacific Division.
Pillow fight division.
Yes, I loved Connor McDavid's line last week about it being a bit of a pillow fight. This is not, I mean, last season, the Pacific Division had multiple of the best teams in the league. Vegas, Edmonton, Los Angeles. Why has the Pacific Division fallen off so much year over year, in your opinion?
Well, I think the number one obvious question is goaltending. It's been real shocking to me, but Edmonton has had, I mean, their goaltending troubles have been on for years. Everybody knows their issues. But the thing that's really surprised me this year is Vegas's issues. You know, Adin Hill is a guy who won a Stanley Cup 3 years ago, and he's had a nightmare of a season. Like, I mean, you guys saw it. I was watching your game against them last Saturday. they're out shooting you 24-9 and you guys are up 3-0. They had a game against Utah right around the same time where Utah had 3 goals on 3 shots in the first period. And it just is a reminder that the most important position in this game is goaltending. And it doesn't matter what you have in front of them. If you don't can't make saves, you're doomed. And that is why the Predators are fortunate. They have a super competitive and talented guy in Saros that gives you a chance on most nights. Because when it goes sideways, like it's gone sideways for both those teams, you're treading water.
Now, Elliot, how will, because Barry Trotz's tenure here is coming, is winding to an end pretty soon.
Yep.
And obviously we know they got to find another GM. But he hadn't been on a job that long. It's been 4 years, or it will coming up on 4 years in July. How do you think his tenure will be looked upon? And do you think years, like in the next 2 or 3 years, if this team does find itself perennially in the playoff, will that be good on his resume?
Yeah, I think so. Like, to me, I mean, Derek, you live down there. You know better than me. But I think that Barry Trotz's reputation in Nashville is cemented and solid. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it still would be that way across the league?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, you have to understand, like, people really think highly of Barry Trotz. They really do. He's, like, just as a person, he's got a lot of universal respect. Obviously, as a coach, he won a Stanley Cup, but you know, building a franchise along with David Poyle, the way he treats people, he has universal respect in terms of the way he's handled himself. And you know what? Like, I mean, this season, Derek, it's been a crazy season. It certainly hasn't been on like a straight path by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, like as the manager, like, when your name is on top of that masthead or it's got that title, you probably get more credit for things than you deserve, but you also get more blame for things than you deserve. So when a season shoots up positively like this one is, it reflects on you as well as a bad season hurts you. So I think it only helps his legacy, but to me, Barry Trotz's legacy in Nashville was secure. You guys live there. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
Elliot Friedman is with us, 32 Thoughts, the podcast, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, one of the more interesting stories of the Predators' surge here is Matt Wood, who was a mid-first-round pick a couple years ago in Nashville, just turned 21. And Barry Trotz was on with us yesterday saying, you know what, after the trade deadline, we almost had no choice. We didn't have enough centers. We had to try him at center. And not only is he gone there, but he's played his best hockey of the year. And Philip Forsberg and Jonathan Marchessault have played really well on his wings. What have you noticed about him from afar?
Well, I think the one thing is that you meet a lot of people, and they will tell you that I like to ask people when they do drafting, Willie, what do you like in a player? And some people, they'll say things like skating. Are they a good skater? But, you know, if you're not a good skater, you can work on it. A lot of the thing that people talk about is hockey sense and competitiveness. Like Ken Holland, who's a longtime GM now with the Kings, he always said to me the most important thing was competitiveness. When games got more important, whether you win or you lose, did the guy battle? And I met a lot of other people who said hockey sense, and that's just another way of saying intelligence on the ice. Is it someone who knows what the right plays are at the most possible times? And I think when you have a player like that who's young, and I'll say this, like, one of the hardest positions to play when you're young is center, because like you look at your conference, look at your division, like look at the guys, like when you're playing with Philip Forsberg and Jonathan Marchessault, you're playing against good players. Like, look at the guys he's probably lining up against. Guys like, potentially, Matt Boldy. Look at what Colorado has down the middle. Like, you can't hide against that team. Those guys will kick your ass. Like, there was a player named Mike Richards. When he's retired now, he went to a Stanley Cup final with Philadelphia. He won a Stanley Cup with the Kings, and he won a gold medal with Canada at the Olympics in 2010. first year he came out, Philly wasn't very good. And he said to me, every night I was going up against the best centers of the Eastern Conference, and I was getting destroyed. But I learned my lesson. So you see a guy like Wood here. He's going up against really good players. I'm sure some nights he isn't very good, but obviously he's stuck there. That says to me he's competitive and he's smart. And if you have those two things, you can work your way through almost any situation.
Elliot, the Devils are here tonight. And, of course, we'll see Jack Hughes for the first time since the Olympic gold. And Andrew Burnett has an interesting background with him, having been on that staff for a while. Hughes is playing great. And the first thing Andrew Burnett said is New Jersey really shouldn't be where they are in the standings. And so this is an interesting matchup in New Jersey. I think it's won 8 out of 11. They just won in Dallas. What are your thoughts on this matchup tonight?
Well, Hughes is a new man since the Olympics, and I'm happy for him. That shift, everybody talks about the goal, but he stripped, but he held off Connor McDavid from scoring, getting a good chance, and he knocked the puck away from Cale Makar, which led to the goal. Like, he had one of the greatest shifts in hockey history. That will go down as one of the best shifts we've ever seen. And I really like Jack, so I'm really happy for him. I think it has taken him to a new level. I think he's always been a confident guy, but I think this has taken him to a new stratosphere. I'm surprised at where New Jersey is. That's another team that simply has not gotten good enough goaltending. You know, they had a lot of injuries this year, but they got off to a great start. Hughes cut his wrist at a team party. I think it was in December. That's when their season really nosedived. I think they're going to have to get a little bigger. They're going to have to become a little more physical. I think that was one of the issues. But this is just another team. You don't get saves. You don't win enough games.
On your podcast earlier this week, and we've had a couple here in Nashville and some Nashville games that had us wondering. And it's hard to explain why this has happened. Elliot, to me, for the goaltender interference issue you've discussed on your podcast a lot, I feel like there was quite a bit of common ground for maybe even a couple of years there where I thought, okay, it's never going to be perfect, but I think we have a general idea of not being surprised as much as we were in the first couple of years where they're still trying to work it out. But what do you think has happened here recently to have so many people throwing their hands up again?
There's just been a lot of plays that kind of look the same that have been adjudicated differently.
Yes.
And I'm trying to get a handle on it.
Like, has anybody responded to your plea on the podcast?
Yeah, they have. We're working on it. Like, I'm working on it. And I'm hopeful. Like, the thing I try to say to people, Willie, is that I'm the guy who's got to go on TV and explain all this stuff. And, you know, like, I just want to be able to do a good job. Like, I just want to be able to explain it, whether it's on the podcast, which you listen to, or on the shows that we do. I want to be able to explain what's the difference. And there were two calls in particular. One was in a Pittsburgh Winnipeg game. The other was in a Columbus Islanders game. And they just looked really similar. And the one thing I will always concede is that the people who make these calls, whether on the ice or in the situation room, they watch more hockey than I do. They know more than I do. I freely admit it. And I just, you know, like, I just think you have to explain so we all know the answers. Like, in the playoffs, we want, like, you want teams to make good decisions on whether or not to challenge. And you want to have a good broadcast where you can say to people, this is why this decision was made. And I'm making some headway here, and I hope to report on it. But, you know, like, look, it was just confusing. And you just want to be able to say to people, hey, this is the reason why this was called that way.
We had a good question earlier on our show about, would there ever be consideration for a 3-2-1 point system? I'm sure you've had this many times over the years. But, for example, the LA Kings, everybody here is watching closely, and one thing you notice about them is it seems like every single game they play goes to overtime.
Yeah, and there's all this worst regulation wins in the league, right?
It's crazy. But there's a reward for going to overtime, and there has been for, you know, 20, 25 years, however long it's been now. But do you think they would ever consider the 3-2-1?
I don't think so. I don't. And I'll tell you why I don't. I think they feel like they have great playoff races this year, right? And I think they're worried that if they tinker with it, the playoff races might not be as good. So that's the reason. I think they like this the way it is. It keeps everybody tight. And that's why I think they should have expanded playoffs, Willie. I'll never win that. Bettman hates it, and he just will never change his mind, no matter how much you argue with him about it. And I think the same thing goes for the points as set up. It keeps everybody close, and that's what he wants.
Elliot, I believe you are an awards voter. I have the honor of also voting for many of the NHL awards. I can't recall a time where the Norris Trophy candidates, like the list is just enormous, from Evan Bouchard to Zach Werenski, Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes, Rasmus Dahlin, Erik Karlsson has turned back the clock, Matthew Schaefer. Yep. There are so many deserving defensemen. I'm just wondering how you've been able to try to whittle this down, because even before the ballots have come out, I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, it's this one's a really tough one this year. Like, every year there's one that's really hard. And this year it's the Norris. Like, I didn't hear you mention Moritz Seider.
No, he's another one.
Yeah. You know, Jake Sanderson, although the injury probably cost him a chance, there's a lot of great choices this year. And there's a lot of guys that could go first. Like, normally you have a guy who's like, he's probably first, and then I'll figure out the rest of my ballot. There's four guys who could win it this year. Like, as far as I'm concerned, Dahlin could win it. Werenski could win it. Hughes could win it. There's a lot of guys. I mean, Seider's a tough one, because if they don't make the playoffs, like, there's only two guys in NHL history who ever won the Norris not making the playoffs. And those were in years where they had really great season compared to everyone else. I don't think you can do that here this year. It's a nightmare. There's one every year that's like, to me, I think Kucherov is my heart guy. I think Schaefer is my rookie, but this defenseman, I'm with you, Adam. It's a nightmare.
Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Thursday during hockey season, and he is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, great stuff as always. Thank you for joining us. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to what Elliot had to say. We are expected to be joined by Vanderbilt Athletic Director Candace Story Lee in the next segment. Looking forward to that conversation. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.